Hello and welcome to another End User Talk podcast. I'm your hostess, Jamila, your lady in tech. Hello, Adatomi. Thank you for being a part of the End User Talk podcast with me today. I appreciate you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to sit with me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I'm so excited.
I'm excited to be talking with you today. Before we get started, do you mind introducing yourself?
Okay. My name is Adatomi. I go by Tomi sometimes, depending on the environment. I am 25 now. I'm a systems engineer currently, and I'm in the process of starting a few businesses. So yeah, I'm an engineer with a passion for a lot of other things. So I'm pretty excited.
Well, good. An engineer, that's a pretty big role there. So my daughter actually watches, I believe it was either a YouTube story or it was on Instagram. Mm-hmm. She was looking on one of those social media sites and she came across a story of yours. Mm-hmm. And she was like, "Mom, I came across this story about this young woman who was talking about her experience in college with an instructor or a professor." And the story she did, it was really neat because it wasn't just her talking, but she provided an animation with it. And I was just blown away. And she said, but what was really also interesting about the story is that story was just your experience in this particular course, with an instructor who basically didn't want to assist you or offer you any support because you were Black or a young Black woman, or he was a little condescending in assuming, trying to figure out how you were able to pass his classes or make the grades that you were making. Mm-hmm. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
All right. Do you mind giving us a little background on that experience?
Okay. So I was in college and I was taking this class called Operating Systems, I believe. And it was one of those classes. It was a pretty hard class. Like, as much as I have a passion for computer engineering, there are just some concepts that I just didn't get. Operating systems at first was one of them. So I'll be honest with you. I would sit in class and I would not look interested. I don't listen well looking directly at people. So I listen while I'm doing other things. So I understand how it may look, the only Black person in class or the only Black woman in class, not paying attention, not doing anything. And all of a sudden, you know, I get a good score on the test. But what happened was I had talked to some people previously and they were like, that had taken the course previously. And they told me that, hey, his tests are kind of tricky. He's going to ask some rhetorical questions where the answer seems like it's supposed to be this, but it's really something else. So make sure you make sure you're aware of that while you're studying. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to try really hard. And honestly, the test was very, very ambiguous. I didn't know I was writing the correct answers down. I was just answering in the best way I knew how. So come test day or come result day, he's handing out the tests and everything. I'm one of the last people to get mine. And he has trouble saying my name, of course. So when I raise my hand and say, hey, it's me, and he realizes it's me, he has a look on his face of like disbelief. And it bothered me a lot. And I feel like that was probably the first time that I really experienced and acknowledged, you know, you might experience and not know, but experience and know that what was his actions were, you know, either racially biased or racist or, you know, depending on, you know, your perception of it. Right. So he looked at me, he looked at my paper, he looked at me again, and I got my test back and I looked at my score. All my friends that I believe are smarter than me, they were like, oh my gosh, I didn't do so well. And so I thought I wasn't going to do as well because of course I didn't even know what I was doing on the exam. I just wrote answers that I thought were correct, not knowing that they were actually correct. So he hands me my test back and he walks away and I'm like, wow, did this man just have this reaction because he realized the person who has the score is Black? And it made me think, and that was why I ended up making the video. And it was actually another company that reached out to me and decided to animate the story. And that's how your daughter came about it. But that's pretty much the background on it. I don't know. It's like, I have a lot of questions. Did he not think I was smart enough to get that score? Did he not think? And at the same time, it's kind of hurtful as well, because you know, I studied hard and I hate studying. So for me to say that I studied hard. I was like, I have to do well in this class because my skills are more on the hands-on side, not as much as the theoretical stuff. And with operating systems, we weren't doing anything practical. It was all pretty much theoretical and how the operating system works. So I knew I had to study to do very well in that class. And it was hurtful that I put all this effort into this class and this professor just, he didn't acknowledge that effort. Even when I came to his office hours after that, I had a question and I was trying to ask him the question. And the way he answered me was very dismissive. And it was kind of like, get out of my face. You don't need help or something. I don't know what it was. And then someone in the hallway asked him the exact same question. And he explained it. If I had left, I would not have known the answer to the question. But, you know, I just decided to stay because I was very upset and I didn't know what to do or how to go about how I was feeling. So I just stayed and the person after me asked the exact same question and she got an answer. And I was just like, okay, this behavior is becoming repetitive. I have no choice but to believe that this is racially triggered, especially being the only Black woman in my class. I think there were about two other Black people in that class. If I wasn't the only one, you know, it's been years. It's been like 6 years maybe since I took that course. So I believe I was probably the only Black person in that class because that was very much my experience throughout the time I was going through my computer engineering degree.
And you know, what you're stating, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this type of experience. Mm-hmm. There is an assumption that Black people, it doesn't matter if you're male or female or what your age is, there's the assumption that we don't have the mental capacity, the smarts, or the know-how in order to, we'll say, take a challenging course, mm-hmm. Or to make good grades, or to even understand a particular concept.
Yeah.
So it's as if, you know, you're taking a class and you, instead of, they put you on this pedestal, but you're not really on the pedestal. You're below, your standards are low. So in their mindset, they are completely surprised and shocked.
Yeah.
You made this score.
Mm-hmm. But that was the exact look on his face as well.
Exactly. And I've heard conversations with other individuals that they went so far as to accusing them of cheating.
Oh, wow.
So this is not a foreign experience for most Black people at really any level. We can go all the way to when you're in grade school, mm-hmm. and then going into high school. There's always the assumption that Black people do not have the brain or mental capacity to understand, I don't know, different subjects.
Yeah.
Not to mention a subject that might be a little bit more challenging.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I've really taken with me, even, you know, into working. I realized recently that I have to do so much more to prove my worth. Me, myself, and one of my coworkers who happens to be white, we can do the exact same thing. We could be working on the exact same task, but I will be questioned more. I will be asked for proof of concept more. I will basically be micromanaged while, you know, the other person is left to do what she needs to do, how she needs to do it, and then just deliver a result. And all those things don't, it started way back, but it starts from when we're children. We experience these things from when we're kids up until and even past our professional life. And it bothers me a lot. Emotionally, it bothers me a lot. It affects me. I don't like it. I don't like that someone could look at my skin and think that, oh, because she's Black, she just might not be as smart. And I had to prove myself a lot, even in college with my courses. There was this one course that for some reason I could not, well, I did very well in the course, but the final project, I could not get it to work. So I had to stay an extra semester to basically show them, hey, this worked. And it wasn't until the end of the semester when I had to deliver it that the professor actually looked at my work after coming several times. And he was like, oh, it should work. I don't know what's the problem. And then he realized what the mistake was. And the mistake was literally just one little dot that I had soldered together rather than separately. And I'm just like, and I was the only person in the course that had to stay and repeat. Whereas I noticed that when other people asked him for help, this is a completely different professor. When other people asked him for help, he's willing, he's able, he has all of the time in the world. But then when it came to me, I had to stay a whole extra semester to do a project that if he had helped me in the initial semester, could have been done by the due date.
You know, it is very frustrating to not be able to get the same type of instruction. Especially from a professor. I'm in college. I am paying you. You are employed to be an instructor, a professor. I understand the size of the classes are larger, but I expect if I come to you and I'm looking for some sort of guidance, understanding, coaching, whatever you want to call it, direction, I would expect that you would treat me and I would get the same type of treatment that any other student would get if they are coming to you and they're needing some help, some direction, an explanation on how to do any of the coursework.
Exactly. With those experiences, it really stopped me from asking for help from professors. And the problem was I couldn't even ask for help from my classmates because they looked at me the same way. Oh, she's Black. She's always asking for help. She must just want the answers. And it's like, no, what I'm asking you for help on, I'm just having a little bit of difficulty understanding. Could you explain it? But even then, I ended up going the rest of my degree not asking for help. How I made it through, honestly, I don't know. A lot of Google, a lot of YouTube, but it hurts that you can't even ask, you know, your classmates because they treat you almost the same way as some of these professors do.
And see, they set the tone, and that is such an unfair advantage or disadvantage for us. Mm-hmm. And you're a student in a class and you all are trying to learn the subject matter, whatever it is. And there are students who catch on a little quicker than others.
Yeah.
And it's not abnormal or unnatural or a violation to ask your fellow classmates, hey, can you explain this? I'm not really good. Sometimes your classmates can explain something a little better or a little bit more clear than sometimes the instructor does. Wow, that is such a mentally taxing and I don't know, that is such a difficult experience to have when all you're trying to do is understand a concept, if you will, and to feel like you have to stop asking questions and try to figure it out on your own in order to keep from being looked upon as a cheater or someone who is not putting forth the same effort as someone else to get an understanding.
Yeah. And the way I kind of justified it, because to make myself feel better, I have to justify a lot of these actions. The way I justified it was, you know what? I went to high school in Nigeria. We didn't have the same opportunities as people who went to high school in America and knew that they wanted to be a software engineer, computer engineer, and were able to join clubs and started coding. And they already had this knowledge beforehand. For me, I was starting from the bottom. I didn't know anything about programming, anything about computers, but I knew that I wanted to be a computer engineer. I knew since high school, but I just didn't have the same tools that everyone else had in my class, you know?
I mean, that's fair. And when you're in a classroom setting and or environment, it shouldn't be assumed that you should know. Everyone's learning style is different. Mm-hmm. The way people retain information or absorb information is different. Some people take a little bit, they have to take the long route in order to get a concept or an understanding. Some people do require a little bit more one-on-one or hands-on. All of our learning styles are different, but it doesn't mean that because you learn or retain or absorb information differently, that you are less than or you're incapable of doing well in a course.
Exactly.
Wow.
And I think the thing that honestly kept me in that degree, because I would have changed based on all these circumstances, but the thing that kept me in computer engineering was just the fact that I really enjoyed the hands-on classes and I got them instantly. People would come to me for help in hands-on classes. In all our labs, people would come to me for help, which made me feel good. You know, it was kind of the trade-off. So if not, because, and now that I'm thinking back on it, I now know that my learning style is hands-on. If they had taught the operating systems class with a lab, I would have gotten it instantly rather than just reading a book and trying to figure it out that way. I just, you know, I don't work that way. So honestly, with the lab classes, with the opportunity to, I guess, shine and show my skill set in a way, that's the only thing that kept me in the degree. Otherwise, I probably would have gone to something else more girly in quotes or something that had more Black people in it. There were so many times I wanted to switch my major over to business. I'm glad
I didn't. You know what? With what you're saying, and you did kind of touch on it, I believe I'm that type of a learner as well, but mine is a little bit more, not only I can apply an application by reading, seeing it done, and me physically doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm able to put the puzzle piece together that way. And I have to do it more than once. I'm not that person who can read it, do it that one time or see it done and then me do it and then, oh, I've got it. Some things are a little bit more challenging. So it may take me a couple of rounds of going back to reading it. Can you show me that again? Or let me try it one more time. So that's my learning style.
Yeah.
Now, with revisiting that experience, if you could have changed something or done something different to not make you feel so responsible for other people's behavior or treatment of you, what do you think you could have done to protect you and still get the end result of doing well and getting the grade and passing the course?
That's a really good question. What really could I have done differently? Let's see. With the way I am now, I feel like probably addressing it could have changed things a little bit. But even then, I have to be very careful about my delivery as well. I can be very harsh. I can be very, you know, when I want to make my point, I make my point. And so I found that sending emails is a lot better. I'm able to think through it, read over it, change some wording if it's too mean, and still put my point across without coming off as rude. So I think probably addressing it in the moment, if I had gone back to that professor and been like, hey, I just asked you for help and you didn't help me, but you helped her, maybe the situation could have been a little bit differently. A little bit different.
Let me say something to you.
Yeah.
Let me say this to you. See, this is the expectation of Black people. Because someone else looks at us differently or makes an assumption about us for whatever it is, they make us responsible for correcting the situation. So they're making us or you figure out how you could have made that situation better. So you're trying to think of things. How could I have rephrased that? How could I have been or presented my quandary, my inquiry to this instructor to make this instructor help me the way that they did without judging the other person who asked the same exact question. And see, that's the thing that has to change. It's not for us to teach other people how to treat us and how not to unfairly judge us. Mm-hmm. I only ask that question to you because unfortunately in our careers, in our education, in our daily lives, we're always having to be the one to fix the problem. So what I'm going to tell you is you didn't do anything wrong. None of that was for you to try to make your experience in those classroom sessions better or fair. That was for the instructor to do. And they failed every single time. Yet, you still graduated.
I did.
Yet, you also blew their mind because the students they thought should have gotten those concepts and scored high, they didn't. And this is that thing that as Black people, we have to work 100 times harder.
Yeah.
To get an end result. And then even when you do it without help. Mm-hmm. And then you still don't get the acknowledgement or the congratulation or, hey, you know what? You learned, you did very well in this. And there are a number of students who didn't do well. Help me help them figure out maybe where it is I'm lacking in my delivery because I'm the instructor. Mm-hmm. We all have to go through that at some point in time. And it's crazy that we have to be the ones to try to explain to them why they shouldn't judge a book by its cover and why they should put us all on a level playing field. And as an educator, it's up to you to figure out what someone's learning style is. And if a person cares enough about their education, the coursework, to come to you after class to try to get a better understanding so that they can pass the class, which overall makes you look good, then I'm going to take out the time that I need to figure out what your learning style is and make sure that I am conveying the information to you in a manner in which you can do well and understand the concepts. And ultimately graduate. I'm not going to make it harder for you.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm dealing with now. Like, it's something I'm addressing internally because even in my culture, you know, we're always supposed to be apologetic to our elders, respect our elders. If we want to address something, we have to find a way to address it nicely so they're not. So I'm taking it from two points. From the culture part where we're respectful of our elders, as well as just being a Black person and throughout my life, being apologetic almost for being Black, you know, being apologetic for my actions, being apologetic for the things I say, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. It hurt his feelings, even though he was racist or something. And that's something I'm dealing with internally now, how to just be unapologetically Black, unapologetically me and not... Mm-hmm. And not try to, how do I put it? And not try to change or influence someone's, I guess, actions or inactions towards me because of my skin color.
You know, see, and again, that you do. That's the whole point. The whole point is you are to be you, whoever you are. Now, mind you, if we're wrong, we're wrong.
Yes.
But it is not our responsibility to make life to give you, make you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. When you unfairly judge or approach me, or you have me go back and explain how I did this, or how did you come up with that? It's not for me to apologize to you or to try to make you feel better about your perception, your judgment, or your view.
Yeah. And an example I'll even bring up that was recent. I was taking a vacation from work. I created the vacation calendar for my team. So I always put my vacation in it. Of course, my manager is newer to the team, even though I've known him since I started at my job. 4 years ago. I've known him, but he just became my manager about January. And so anyway, I made the vacation calendar. I put my vacation in. I was like, hey guys, my birthday's next week, so I'm taking 2 days off. So I'll be back after that. And immediately, and one thing I noticed is that every time I say something in meetings, he has to come and say something back to counter it. And it is the most annoying thing. And honestly, the only thing I can attribute it to is racism, because I know a lot of Black people that just generally do not get along with him. And there are always problems. I don't know if it's just people interaction or whether he does have bias against Black people. So he said, hey guys, remember to put your we have a vacation calendar. Remember to put it in there. Make sure you, whatever. He made a point about vacation and vacation calendar. And it really upset me. And I was just like, it's in the vacation calendar. And he was just quiet for the rest of the meeting. And old me, younger me, would not have said anything. I would have just been upset. I wouldn't have said anything in the moment. I'd have just been like, oh, I don't like what he said. But I'm really happy that I made my point in the meeting, because now whenever I say anything about vacation, no one questions me. I created that calendar, so I put it in. Do you get what I'm saying? And so
I get that, you.
That's just one of the things. But at first I thought, oh, maybe I'm just the one that's wrong or whatever. But even when I'm right, he has to find a way to make something I said wrong and make a point out of it and try to generalize it to the team when everyone knows you're referring to the one specific person.
But you see, that is a sense of inferiority. He feels challenged by you. Now, unfortunately, in the workplace, when, you know, you work in there, Caucasian men or women are in positions of management or in a role where they can delegate. We'll just put it that way. If you see, it is the same type of treatment that you experienced in the classroom setting. Now it's just moved into your career, your work environment, an area where you can be paid for your skill, your knowledge. So when they see Black people amongst the group of individuals here, it again, there's this idea that they don't deserve to be here, or somebody gave it to them, or it was one of those they had to fulfill the status quo. It was a diversity hire. And then when you have a Caucasian male who's in a role as a manager and he has a female, a Black female. And, you know, we get this attitude all the time that Black women are confrontational, argumentative, and disagreeable. So they've already got this on their, that chip on their shoulder. So when they see you and you interject or you add to a conversation, they feel challenged. And then they feel like they have to be combative, or they have to have a rebuttal, even if it is right, because they feel like, I've got to prove myself to this person because that Black woman thinks she knows more than me, but I'm the manager.
Yeah, there are so many examples at work that I can give, just blatant, just there's so many, like, I'll give you the one example I can think of. I've had to change a lot of my wording with the way I interact with people. I'm a very simple talker. I don't use big words generally. I try to explain or say things in the simplest way. That way everyone understands. So at work, there was a problem that no one knew the solution to. And we weren't getting paid for overtime at the time. So I actually had an appointment for that day. And I said, hey, I have an appointment and I have to leave for the day, but I can stay. I don't mind staying if you want me to, but I do have an appointment. I made sure to let them know I have an appointment, but I can postpone. We can reschedule, whatever. And the man was like, okay, no, go ahead. You can go. So the next week I come back to work and I didn't even know who was speaking about me. I keep my AirPods in all the time at work. And most of the time I'm actually not listening to music. I just keep them in so people won't talk to me if they don't have to. Right. And so he comes into the aisle and I just go warm my food for lunch. And I come back and I hear him like talking about somebody. And so I thought everything was okay. So I go over there and I'm like, oh my gosh, are you talking about me? Having no idea he was actually talking about me.
Right.
Maybe. And he turns around and he's like, and this, he's a white man. And he turns around and he says, oh, you want to do this right now? We could. I was like, sir, in the workplace? He exactly. really changed his stance, turned to me like he actually wanted to fight. And I was just like, oh my gosh, sir, what? And so I let him say everything that he wanted to say about how I cost the company $50,000 in money and how I did this and how I did that. And I don't know what he was upset about. What happened was we didn't know the answer to the problem, but there was already a solution in place that nobody knew about until he asked a couple of people and then he found out, oh yeah, we know how to work around this problem. And so I don't know where the anger stemmed from. And I don't know if it's because I approached him and I said, oh my gosh, are you talking about me, in the most friendly manner ever? But the way the conversation was so hostile towards me. And the thing that really hurt me about this, not really what he said to me. Well, what he said to me made me very upset, and the way he interacted with me when I was calm and I just let him speak and vent. And I was just like, okay, no problem. Next time we know about this problem and we can do the work around and not have to go through this whole weekend of work that you went through. But the thing that really hurt me was that two white men, the person that sits beside me and the person that sits behind me, were there listening to everything that he had to say. But when I needed to defend myself to my teammates, they were like, oh, I don't want to get involved. Oh, this is none of my business. Oh, just da, da, da. I was like, how come when he has something to say, you give him the platform to talk, but when I want to defend myself, all of a sudden you don't want to get involved?
Exactly. And it's because they are aware of the behavior. They're aware of the aggression. But the thing is if they were to get involved, then that aggression would be directed towards them.
Towards them. Exactly.
Uh-huh. So this is a you problem. He has a problem with you. I'm not going to get in the middle of it because I don't want him to treat me like he's treating you. Mm-hmm. So there is no team. There is no continuity. And then you don't have support. You're out on a ledge by yourself.
Yeah.
But this is what I will say. And I'm just going to tell you, mm-hmm. you are not alone in this. There are so many of us who have to deal with this type of aggression, this type of, it is racism.
Yeah.
He's not treating you fairly. You've not given him any reason to be so aggressive towards you, to be so challenging. And when he got in that stance, you had every right to say, what's up with the aggression? I asked you a simple question. Now, either I touched a nerve and you were talking about me, and if that were the case, all you had to do was pull me to the side and we could have had this discussion privately. Any problem that you have with me, we can discuss privately. You shouldn't take issues to my teammates because you make me a target. You make this environment uncomfortable for me.
That was the day I realized that really I am the only one who has my own back. Fortunately, at the time, my manager was also a Black woman. So I told her about everything. And I'm not sure what she did, if she went to his manager or whatever it was. But I just felt a lot more comfortable, you know, being able to tell someone who looks exactly like me, is a woman, that, hey, I went through this and this is what this person did to me and how he acted and who was listening and who was interacting in how they responded to the situation as well.
Now, that is so sad that we don't have that type of advocacy. And this is exactly why it is important for us to have the representation that we need in every environment, because that type of stuff, that's bullying. It's workplace harassment. And you're right. It feels much better that when you are faced with issues like this or challenges like this, that you do have someone that looks like you, and hopefully you can express what's going on and it's reciprocated.
Yeah.
And that person would speak on your behalf, and you're not feeling alone or feeling like, is it me? Because it's not you. It's I don't know you, but I don't think that you are a threatening individual, or you're so aggressive and you know, I don't get that from you.
I don't even have the mind to be aggressive. I don't know how. Sometimes I want to be, and I just don't know how.
And you know what? You don't have to change you. And see, that's the thing. It's so sad that you have to go back and second guess yourself, your behavior, how you interact. You have to be careful about how you compose your email, how you speak. And that's not how it should be.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have a reason.
Exactly. Because the thing is that if someone of another race has the same problem that I have, whatever it is, it's not even just a feeling. I know that, you know, the reaction to them is not going to be the same as the reaction to me. It's going to be a lot softer. It's going to be a lot more of, I understand. Okay. I see it. Not so much of, are you pulling the race card? Are you sure he meant it that way? Are you questions like that.
That is so crazy. It is so wild that we are still dealing with these same types of, someone would call this microaggression. I don't know if you're familiar with that term. Okay. So that's what we deal with in our corporate or working environments, really just in anything in life, honestly, because you could be at the grocery store and be challenged like this. minding your business, going and filling your tank with gas, and you have to constantly be aware of how you carry yourself, how you're speaking, how you interact. And we shouldn't have to be that guarded and that protective, protected and wearing that type of mask all the time, because that is defeating who it is you are naturally. If anything, they should adjust to you. They should be the one guarded when they approach you. And I am so sorry that we went in this direction. This is not
it is
where
okay.
I wanted to. I did not want the conversation, but unfortunately in you have to consider with everything that we're going through right now, it's difficult to have a conversation like this and not deal with racism.
Yeah.
It's our everyday life. I would love, I'll give you an example of something that I went through. When I was married, we kind of did a honeymoon a year later, and we went on a cruise. First time I'd ever been on a cruise ship. I'm excited. Go on this cruise ship, and I'm just completely in awe that this huge, massive vessel is floating on water, and it is so beautiful. I poured it. We poured it out of San Juan, Puerto Rico. I've never been to San Juan, Puerto Rico. I get on the ship and I see all of these people who look like me, all these black people. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was not expecting that. The problem with that was I see people who look like me. They didn't speak English. They, of course, spoke Spanish. So there was a language barrier, but this is what made this and that entire experience so much better for me, was that not only was I on a vessel that was full of people that looked like me, for once in my life, I was able to go somewhere and not be a black woman. I was able to go and go to the salad bar, the buffet, and pick out a plate and get all of this fancy food. I was able to sit in certain areas, and I wasn't limited to, oh, this area is for this type, this a VIP or this. That was such a relief to just be able to go and sit at a table with different races, different people from different backgrounds, and not have to feel like a black woman.
Yeah.
And go through that's what we want. All we want to do is not constantly have to talk about the skin that I'm in.
Yeah, exactly.
And how it's so challenging, and how the skin that I'm in is perceived in these different areas. We just want to be able to live, to work, to be, to exist, not have to always prove or prepare ourselves on how we are to interact or how we're supposed to behave in certain environments.
Yeah.
We just want to live. That's one moment in my life where I was just like, I'm just a participant enjoying this vacation. Mm-hmm. I have to say that's the only time. I was 19.
Wow.
I was 19 years old. And that was the first time that I ever not had to be aware that I was a Black woman or treated as if I was a Black woman.
Yeah.
In the negative connotation, if you will.
Yes.
So
yes.
It is very difficult for us to have conversations that are just normal conversations without addressing race or discrimination.
Yeah.
Or how I had to prove to myself and how I had to break this down. So that's what we want. And I think it's a simple request.
It's not hard.
It's not hard. And, you know, as Black people, you know, we have these conversations with one another. And there are certain things, I don't care where you go in the world or where you were raised or where you live. There are some things that are just universal.
Yeah.
Universal experiences. And when we're amongst ourselves and we discuss these things, we have to joke about it and laugh.
Yeah.
To keep from being angry or to keep from feeling alone, really.
Yeah.
So that's something that I would love to see change in the midst of the Black Lives Matter movement, which is why which is what that means. It encompasses so much. But we need to be able to exist and coexist amongst people and not be judged based on our hair, texture.
Recently,
the hairstyle.
Yeah, recently at work, they've been trying to have more conversations about race. Which has been nice. I haven't actually attended any, partly because I've had appointments and just other commitments, but they've been having real conversations. I did talk to my senior manager and let him know that I think a more nuclear conversation would be better. But I haven't gotten feedback on that yet.
Well, I hope that the environment will change. And I can tell you this much, if more pressure was put on individuals who exercise these types of behaviors and these aggressive attitudes, if more pressure was put on those individuals and you had more people who felt comfortable, because what I will say is there are individuals who are non-Black who see the differences that are made.
Mm-hmm.
But because they fear retaliation or because they fear the same type of treatment, they do keep quiet. They don't want to get involved because right now they're at peace. They get to go to work and just work.
Yeah.
But if I have to come to work and defend someone that I know is being treated unfairly, then that means that I'm going to suffer some retaliation if there's not enough support to say, you know what, we all need to stand up and make sure that when we see these things happen, that we make the persons accountable who are dealing out this type of behavior. We need to make sure that there's enough support there that that person knows that I can't do that, or I better stop that because I'm going to be held accountable and I'm going to have to answer this. The conversations are great. But we definitely need some action and some real accountability. And I hate to use the word punishment, but a circumstance, because there's a cause and effect in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our experience in the workplace and just in the world in general would be better if people knew that there is a consequence for this type of behavior. And I'm going to have to be accountable. So I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Hopefully it does change. I know at my place of work, not necessarily at our site, but I know in the Seattle site, there have been instances where people have been fired for doing racist things, saying racist things. And people know that now, at least I know now that Black people at work are now more comfortable with reporting it. and knowing that there's going to be a consequence to the action.
Because that's what we're going to have to do universally.
Yeah.
Exactly. You just kind of sit back and you say, well, okay, I'm going to overlook that. But I think now what you're lending or leading to is we have to stop allowing them to get away with it. Mm-hmm. We have to report it. And even if we think, because a lot of people say, that's not that big of an issue. Okay, issues don't have to have a gauge or be big, small. If it's an issue and I'm offended by it, that's how you stop it. Because if they're taking baby steps and you don't stop them, it just gets bigger. They get, they start running.
So yeah, they start to feel even a lot more comfortable.
They do. They get confident. Oh, she let me, oh, I got that one slip by. Nobody acknowledged it, or she didn't say anything. So, I'm going to try something else. That's just human nature to try to see how far you can get away with something, mm-hmm. how long you can get away with it. You start small. And then it just gets bigger and bigger. But you're right. We have to, in order for us to make things change, in order for us to feel comfortable in our skin and in our environments and be treated fairly, we have to hold those people accountable. We have to. That's what you have human resources there for. That's why you can have meetings, skip level meetings, or whatever you want to call them. You meet with them and you explain to them, this is what's happening. You're making me feel uncomfortable, and you're also making this in this work environment uncomfortable, not just for myself, but for my peers. And this needs to stop. Not only do we have to deal with this, how is it being a Black woman in the particular, in this particular career, this your role itself? How has that experience, or do you see many Black women doing your job?
Well, no. So the way I'll describe it is we have three buildings at our site. My particular building, we probably have two Black women, and I'm one of them. I didn't see it at first. I didn't think it was a big deal. I don't want to say I was ignorant, or maybe I didn't know, or maybe I was not aware, I feel like I was really protected in my first few years of my career, at least. My managers were really good, and we had a really nice family type of atmosphere on our teams. And so I'll say that I was pretty protected. I was the only Black person, but my experience was pretty, it was really protected. When I switched over to this new team, now I'm a systems engineer, and it's, I don't want to say it's hard, but it is kind of hard. You know, I'm not able to express myself. So I'll be honest with you. I actually just put in my 2 weeks last week because of my mm-hmm. manager and a lot of my experiences at my job. And fortunately, my senior manager gave me the opportunity. I was going to send an email, but then I was like, you know what? It's whatever. But my senior manager asked me, why am I leaving? And can I give a review on the team? And a lot of the points that we talked about here are things that I said, like, I can't be myself. I have to come extra prepared. I have to start using acronyms. I can't just be me. I have to be what everyone wants me to be so I can be taken seriously. I was always a very casual dresser. I had to start changing the way I dressed. And the way, I'll put it like this, at my job, we're engineers mostly. Everyone dresses pretty casual. You can wear jeans to work every day if you want to. You can wear mm-hmm. a t-shirt if you want to. That's just our work environment. It's not really, it's corporate America, but it's not corporate America in the way that you would think, business suits all the time. So right. I noticed that for me to be taken a lot more seriously on this current team that I am, I had to change the way I dressed. I had to start, fortunately, it fit with my lifestyle change anyway. I really wanted to dress nicer, but I didn't like that I had to dress nicer to be taken seriously. There are so many changes that I've had to make within myself, or maybe not changes. The way I can't present myself the way I am. One thing I noticed was every time I changed my wig, someone would make a comment, hey, nice hair. But when my natural hair was out, no comments whatsoever. I remember I shaved the sides of my head because I really wanted that haircut. I actually did it earlier this year. And I noticed everyone's interactions with me were a lot different. First of all, no one on my team mentioned my hair like they usually do. They just looked at it and they kept pushing, which is fine. I would rather you not comment on my hair every time I change it anyway. But then
exactly,
people were actually hostile. I had to go to another team to ask for help. And the person I went to, his first reaction was, I don't have a charge line. You can't come and ask me questions like this, da 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 da. But fortunately, I'm pretty persistent. So I stayed and I was like, okay, I can give you a charge line, but can you answer this question? I'm looking for this and I'm looking. And he softened up as the conversation went on. But I don't see that for other people. Being a Black woman in my position is seeing the way you're treated differently from other people. It's experiencing a lot of things that your counterparts don't have to experience. It's working harder. It's, for example, when we started working virtually, I feel like a lot of people were doubting my work. And so that was when I actually started. I had to change my tone of voice. I'm a super friendly and happy person, naturally. I'm all smiles. In meetings, I am now monotone. My tone of voice is, oh, I'm doing this today and I'm doing that today and I have this delivery and I have that delivery and I will have it to you by the end of the day. Before, I'd be like, hey, good morning. How are you guys doing? Okay, so, you know, in a different tone of voice, very happy.
That's ridiculous.
I know. Other than that, I mean, I think my experience so far has been rewarding, except for obviously the microaggressions. I know getting to my position, I had to have a lot of people fight for me. Having mentors has been very beneficial to my growth at my company. At the time when we've had so many manager changes, when my manager was a Black woman and I had to switch over to another team, I was supposed to get a promotion under her. And she told me, but when I switched over, the new manager, she wanted me to basically prove myself all over again. Oh, the other Black woman was my manager. So she wanted me to prove myself all over again. If my old manager did not fight for me that I deserved that promotion, I wouldn't have gotten it. I would have had to wait another 2 years.
Wow.
And
the hoops you have to jump through.
I know. It's little things like that. For example, on my team, I really wanted to do this thing called earned value management training. It's a finance thing. And I'm really interested in it. It's completely out of line from what engineers typically do, but I really wanted to learn about it. And I asked several, I've asked for a year, basically, at this point. Can I do it? Can I do it? In December, I missed it because I was on vacation. So that's when our manager became our manager, when I was on vacation. So I come back and I'm like, hey, this EVM training is coming up. Can I do it? He found every reason to tell me no. Fortunately, my manager or my mentor was in my chain of command. I didn't even know at the time. I was just telling him about, hey, this stuff is going on. I'm very unhappy. I just don't feel like I can grow in my career. And my manager is not helping me. He said at the beginning of the year, hey, anything that you need that will help you grow in your career, tell me and we'll make it work. I told him nothing. Then my mentor finally jumped through some hoops and told my manager, hey, she needs to do EVM training. And so I spoke to my manager and I said, hey, I need to do EVM training. And his first response was, yeah, I heard that from Mark. His name is Mark, my mentor. I heard that come down mm-hmm. the chain from Mark. Yeah, we'll see what we can do. There's no space right now. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
There was a lot of harshness because it seemed like I went over, which wasn't actually the situation. My mentor just happened to be in my chain of command and he could make it happen. So at the end of the day, the reason I'm leaving, honestly, is because he never allowed me to do the EVM training, even with my mentor, his boss's boss, his boss, actually, three bosses up, told him that I should do it. So I was like, you know what? This is not working. I'm not growing here and it's time to go.
That is that within itself is retaliation. And you didn't, to be perfectly honest, you took the request to the manager that you reported to.
Mm-hmm.
He denied it.
Yep.
And it, you know, and to be perfectly honest, in the corporate world, it's not always what you know, it's who you know. Most of us know that. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, what do they say? A closed mouth does not get fed.
Yeah.
So in most companies, they actually applaud and they support individuals who are trying to grow within the company, who are trying to develop mm-hmm. within the company. And most people would be happy to know, hey, you're interested in that program. Yeah, great. We'll get you signed up. We can't do it now, but we'll get you signed up. We'll get you put on the schedule.
And I think honestly, but I do think that part of the reason why he didn't allow me is because he's the, after you take EVM training, you become a control account manager. And mm-hmm. because he's a control account manager for our team, I really do feel like that's part of the reason he didn't want me to do it. I have no idea why, but that has to be part of it. Since he's the CAM, he can make those decisions and he just decided, nope, you're not going to help.
But that's stunting your growth and it's stunting your future. And again, that has nothing to do with you. That is a personal, he feels threatened by you. All of his decisions are not based on whether or not you are capable of doing any of it. First, I'm going to be honest. I believe it's because you are a Black woman. Secondly, he is in a position to where he can open the floodgates or close them. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, I believe he feels challenged by you. And you are actually intelligent. You are capable. You are qualified to do his job and probably would do a better job in executing.
I think so, to be honest.
We know that.
Yeah.
Because who fights so hard to keep someone from growing, from being productive?
And the biggest thing to me was the training is free. All I needed was a manager's permission to go. My previous manager, if I had asked under her, she would have let me go because she has let everyone on our team go. But I wasn't interested at the time. Now I'm interested. And this is the one thing at the company that I have been ever so interested in. And I'm like, I got to do it. I got to do it. I really want to do it. And it's a no.
It's amazing how many, I've had this conversation before. I've experienced something similar in trying to grow within a company I'd worked for 19 years. And I wanted to try something different. And by luck of the draw, I actually met a VP. At the time, I didn't know it was a VP, but she was visiting the department and she sat with me for some reason. And we were talking and of course, you know, when you have these conversations, they are so impressed with your knowledge, with your, the information that you have. They're just so impressed. And she wanted to help me. So she made some calls and made some things happen and got me an interview for a role that would have been an upgrade. It would have been a promotion. And the manager that I had at the time, there's so many descriptive adjectives that I can use for this manager. Well, he didn't realize that that interview was negotiated by this VP. He tells the hiring manager that I'm not ready for that role.
Wow.
So, of course, the hiring manager, who does not know me at all, decided that he didn't want to have the interview anymore.
Wow.
So I reported the incident to HR and I explained to the HR manager, I said, this manager doesn't have any proof that I'm not ready for the role. It was considered like a management role. Mm-hmm. So he basically told that manager that she's not ready for management. And I basically explained to the HR, representative that I said, at no point has this manager ever come to me and stated that he thought, because he has to sign everything before it goes up. When I'm applying for positions, it goes through him before it goes any higher. Mm-hmm. At no point did this man ever come to me and say, Jamila, I don't think you're ready for this management role. You know, and he's the kind of guy who really enjoyed promoting people because it made him look good. This man has promoted all of these people in these particular roles, and these people are doing well in these areas. But yet when Jamila applies for a role, she's not ready. So went to HR with it, and it got back to the VP. And I said, this gentleman is stunting my growth. He's affecting my career. He's hitting me in my pocketbooks. So somebody needs to stop this, and this interview needs to happen. Well, the interview did happen. I didn't get hired because it was just a courtesy interview. You cannot stay within a company where you do not have the support, or you have a manager who's in a role where he can stop everything and keep you from developing, from growing, from being promoted.
Yeah.
So you're making the right decision.
Thank you.
The right decision. And this is why I'm having these discussions. And this is why my podcast is, this is my new focus, because what you're going through, so many of us have experienced. And you think about all the college graduates to come entering the workforce. They're trying to use their degrees. Think about how many of them are going to be, who are going to have to face the same thing that you faced.
Yeah.
And if we don't talk about it, then we can't prepare the people behind us who are getting ready to take on these different roles. And when you get your college diploma, your degree, excuse me, when you get that degree, when you get that certification, you get that licensing, you are excited about this role that you're fixing to be paid to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get in there, you face all of these obstacles and these roadblocks and these stairs and this aggression.
And I agree with you on that, because before I was a software engineer, systems engineering is so interesting. There are so many aspects of it that are just amazing to learn about, but I couldn't even enjoy it because my experience at the workplace was terrible. It has been terrible.
Well, I'm going to tell you this much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that even little things, even with my previous managers on the same team, for example, there are two parts of systems engineering. I'm on the requirements side right now, but I really wanted to be on the model-based systems engineering side because that's what the world is going to, model-based systems engineering. And I was interested to learn about it. I did a bunch of research and I went to my manager and I was like, hey, I know you guys want me to be on requirements because there aren't as many people. However, I think my skill set and as far as my interests, especially because you told me I could choose as well, would be better suited for model-based systems engineering. And I got literally like 5 words back. And it wasn't even a complete sentence. It was, he said something like, no room, dot, talk to senior manager. I was like, you couldn't even give me a full sentence. Like, hey, unfortunately, we're not able to do that, but we can talk to the senior manager and see how we can go about it. Nope, just
so
no
disrespectful.
Room.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, that guy was demoted. He deserved it, in my opinion. He wasn't a great manager.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he interacted with team members was terrible.
I'm going to say this much to you. I don't want you to be discouraged by these experiences. If nothing else, these experiences help build you and make you, I don't want to say tougher, because I don't think this is a matter of being tough. What I believe is you are qualified, you're deserving, and you are capable to solidify and to facilitate any role that you desire.
Mm-hmm.
So if nothing else, these experiences are just going to make you stronger in not defending yourself, but proving. And when I say prove, I can show you better than I can tell you.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not going to allow you to be condescending to downgrade my ability because I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to be the one challenged. I'm here to do a job. I know what I'm doing. And if I do have to ask a question, it's because I've exhausted every resource that I have access to. Mm-hmm. And I'm only coming to you to see if there's some other way that I might be overlooking, not because I feel like I'm incapable or because I'm taking a shortcut and picking your brain because I don't want to work. But I want you to continue to stay encouraged. And the only reason that I would say for you to change something in how you interact, in how you present yourself, the only reason I would say for you to do that is because you feel you need to do it. Not because of how someone else perceives you. You should never change who you are unless you feel like I really need to change that. Or maybe I do need to communicate this differently. Not because of someone else's unjustified, unfair judgment or treatment of you. So I want you to stay. I want you to continue your path. There is a role out there for you. There is a company out there for you that will appreciate you and what you can bring to that company, to that department, to that role, to that team. And if you're in an environment where you're not being appreciated, you're not being treated as a team member, and you don't have the support or the you don't have the support that you need from upper management and your teammates, then that's not right for you. Yeah. But then at the same time, it's not for you to change their perception.
Exactly.
Either. So let me just, we're about to wind this down, but what I want to do is, because you've had the different experiences that you have, in your particular role and in any future role that you might be interested in, if someone else is interested in studying for your career path, or they're currently in the process or considering it, or even accepting a role, do you have any advice for someone in any one of those scenarios?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Well, just anyone who is looking to accept a position in the engineering or the role that you're currently in, if they're in school, they're being challenged, or they might be losing a little faith, or they're looking to accept a position just to make that transition a little easier for them, or just offer them a little bit encouragement on how to navigate these waters going forward. Do you have any advice on someone looking for this particular role, who's studying it or about to accept a position, or might even currently be working?
My biggest thing is that at the end of the day, at the end of everything, it's your job. They hired you for your skill set, for your personality, for what you can bring to the team. And at the end of the day, fortunately, or for a lot of people, you don't have to take your work home. So work is work, and let work be work, and enjoy your life outside of it. That's one of the things that has kept me sane. The fact that I truly do separate work from the rest of my life. It has helped my mental. It has helped me physically. It has just helped my interactions with people as well. I would also say, people think that engineers don't have people skills. Not true. One of the biggest things that I enjoy truly is reading up on personalities and personality types and how to interact with them. Learning the people skills is almost more important than having the actual skill set. You need the skill set to do your job. You need the people skills to be able to interact and get better opportunities, get another job, get a better job, or anything of that sort. Knowing how to interact with people probably has been one of the biggest things for me, as well as enjoying my life outside of work. For some people, I understand that, you know, work is, their 9-to-5 is is their livelihood. It's what they truly enjoy. They enjoy the work. But I would say making sure you have that separation or having a work-life balance is honestly important. As far as the technical side, of course, knowing the skills and also going into a job that you truly enjoy. That way, if you do experience some of the things that I experienced, that I have experienced, it doesn't completely discourage you because you truly do enjoy the work. And if I could advise my younger self in college with all the experiences that I have experienced till now, it would probably be that you are capable, you are intelligent, you are smart. And nobody can tell you otherwise, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. For the fact that you're pursuing this degree, any degree for that matter, not just engineering, you are intelligent, and I applaud you for taking that step forward. Sorry, this is honestly kind of emotional for me just thinking about it and thinking about my younger self as well. And just know that
that's okay.
Yeah, just know that you've got it. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Don't let nasty teammates, don't let people who are naturally just discouragers, don't let anyone tell you otherwise. You are going to achieve this dream and you're going to do well. And you're going to be the best at anything that you put your mind to, whether at work or outside of work.
I think that's great advice. I think it is very uplifting and encouraging. And again, it's been an honor to have you here speaking with me today, expressing or sharing your experiences. They have been challenging. They've been mentally taxing and a whole lot of other word salad or soup we could come up with. But
<Yes. laughs>
the other thing that we also have to keep in mind is try not, even though things seem a little bleak, don't be discouraging to yourself.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing, because that's why I said the advice to myself, because I remember when I was younger, I would always tell myself, you're not good enough. Maybe you're just not as smart as everyone else. Maybe you are what they say. Maybe you're, you know, I would tell myself those things. And that's why I'm just like, you absolutely cannot tell yourself those things. You have to be encouraging to yourself. If not for that, honestly, I feel like my life would be a lot different in the way that I navigate it as well.
I've really enjoyed this discussion with you, and I'm so glad my daughter came across that video. And this has been very eye-opening. It's just been a wealth of information and experience, but so many people are going to be able to relate to what you have gone through, mm-hmm. both personally and professionally. You've given great advice. And I thank you for accepting my invitation first and foremost.
Thank you for inviting me.
You are welcome back anytime. Even if you're not on the podcast, I definitely want to keep in contact with you, because this is, like you said, it's very emotional. We're in a very emotional time. It's a very challenging time. It's very tumultuous for Black people as a whole. And these are the conversations that we need to have. Mm-hmm. And I'm so adamant about, it's not for us to be healing anyone else other than ourselves and us as a community. These are needed conversations and discussions so that none of us feel like we're alone and we're fighting these battles or we're overthinking things or maybe I'm overreacting. No, that's what they want you to believe so that you can be muzzled, mm-hmm. and so that you don't have those wings and you fly, because the sky is the limit, and you can even go outer space in that.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Continued success. You stay positive. You go reach for the stars and stay motivated. You've been very uplifting, even for me. I have 3 daughters of my own. And thank you so much for sharing. And you stay safe and continue success.
Too.
And thank you for joining
thank
me today.
You. Thank you so much, Jamila. It was great talking to you.
We've come to the close of another episode of the End User Talk podcast. I hope that what you've heard today will leave you feeling empowered. Thank you for listening. And remember, every day's a training day.